Hold on to your seats and noses, folks, because you're listening to the No Farting Around Show, where we're all about taking your marketing from the toilet to the bank. I'm your host, Ashley Mae Fernandez, and each episode I plunge into the depths of marketing to bring you fresh perspectives that are deadly but not silent. So if you're ready to stop farting around and make your profits rip, let's cut to the cheese and get on with the show. Hello, friends. Do you want clearer messaging? Is that even a question? Yes, I'm sure all of you do. So I'm going to talk about something on this episode that is so simple that will immediately shift your messaging and your marketing to make it super, super clear. Okay, so I can't tell you how many times I will have clients or I'm reading content or something online and they will tell me what they do, or they will tell me who their ideal client is. And I, quite frankly, just want to go come again, or I go straight into snoozeville because it sounds the same as everybody else. They'll say something like, oh, I work with female entrepreneurs and they're very coachable and they're very outgoing or whatever. They will just throw in more adjectives and more words that will describe these people, but the words are subjective and they don't actually mean anything. So I love these type of clients because it gives me a chance to really dig in and make it crystal clear. And then when the light bulb moment goes off, oh my gosh, wow, that actually makes a lot of sense. And I have them do an exercise. If you're listening, I encourage you to go do this exercise because it is freaking amazing and it will immediately tap into the actual wants of your ideal client. And I know you guys have been around in the marketing world and they're like, oh, I hate this phrase so much. I wish that it will die in the copywriting world. But they're like, oh, they need to get from Hell Island to Heaven Island. Or they'll say something like, what keeps them up at night? And yes, those are also very important things, but I don't think people go as nuanced as they could or nuanced as they should. And I hate the word should, but you could go a lot more nuanced. And when you do, that is when it actually becomes clear. So these are the two questions that I want you to ask yourself. Anytime someone asks you, hey, what do you do? Who's your ideal client? I want you to just go off what you would normally say. I want you to say it in your head. Do this as the exercise. Say it in your head. Then I want you to ask yourself, what does that mean? What does that mean? And you might have a hard time answering that question. Really, my clients have a hard time answering that at first too. So sometimes I'll say, okay, what does that look? Give me an example of what that actually looks like. So I'm going to give you just a random example here. This is just off the top of my head. Let's say if I asked you, hey, who's your ideal client? You would say, my ideal client is a mom and she's super, super busy and she has a hard time juggling both her work and her family life. Okay. I could probably go right now. Let's say you are you're a business coach who works with moms. I could go right now to 15 other business coaches who work with moms and they will tell me some iteration of the exact same thing. So therefore, you're not standing out. You're not being seen for your expertise, which I know you have. Let me tell you what, the people who are in my circle, the people I attract, you guys are the diamonds in the rough and you're so freaking good at what you do and you deliver results super quickly. It's just sometimes you have a hard time articulating exactly what it is that you do differently. And I say differently, not better. I say differently because that's what it all boils down to, is having an edge in the market is not being louder. And I'm speaking to you, particularly my Aries people, my Aries clients. I love you guys. You are firecrackers. But you tend to get louder and think people are going to understand you if you just say the same thing louder. I'm totally calling you out. If you're an Aries, please just listen. I promise. It's not that I don't love your loudness and everybody else doesn't love it. It's just that getting louder is not actually doing you any favors, right? It's not really doing you any favors. If you don't know how to actually articulate what it is that you're saying, getting louder is just making it louder. It's not making it more understood. So I I say this example, right? And I've had so many people, I can guarantee you right now that everyone would say some iteration of that if they are a business coach that works with moms, right? So then I would ask you, what does that look like? Give me an example of that. So let's say you were going to go write a content. This is what I would write a piece of content on. I could say something along the lines of, you've been working all day serving your clients and you just need to get the last thing, you know, finished. And again, this is totally off the top of my head, but I would say something like, you need to close up with the last client of the day with your work. And it is now, you look at the clock, it's now 7 o'clock and your family is upstairs. Your husband has cooked dinner and they're all about to sit down and you hear the chairs scraping on the floor, all sitting down for dinner. And you start to feel angry and frustrated because you're missing dinner once again. And you just want to be able to have family dinners because you are having a really hard time balancing and getting a hold of or taking control of, I know you Aries love control too, taking control of all of the work that you're doing in your business and being able to spend precious time with your family. Because isn't that why you became an entrepreneur in the first place? Was so that you could spend more time with your family. And now you just find yourself feeling more guilty and more frustrated because while, yes, you're making the money that you want to make and you're actually doing what you set out to do, it's in sacrifice to the other thing that you really, truly enjoy and want in your life. Do you see how I just painted a picture? And again, that was something that was totally not my best work. That was really just right off the top of my head. If I sat down and did this, it would be a lot more imagery and all that. But do you see how I painted the picture of the entrepreneur sitting in a chair, hearing their family upstairs have dinner, talking about how their husband made dinner for the, I don't even know if I said this, but let's say they made dinner for the 10th night in a row. And you just feel incredibly guilty because you really just wanted all your dreams to come true. And yes, you're working on this dream and you are making the money and you set out and you did what you did, but you just still feel unbelievably guilty because it's in sacrifice to what you actually started your entrepreneurship journey for. Right? Maybe they did start their entrepreneurship journey to be able to spend more time with their family. And yeah, they're successful. I'm doing quote unquote, they're successful, but they're not successful in the way that they want to be successful, right? Success to them is making the money and being there for their family. And they do not understand where the disconnect is. And maybe that's your specialty. Maybe it is you helping them implement systems and routines as a business coach, and maybe even helping them create some type of passive offer within their business so that they can continue to make that money and be able to buy back time. Do you see how I did that? I painted that picture, right? And you can even talk about this. It's like, you know, what does that look like? That's a great example of what does that look like. But you can also, when I say, what does that mean? Another thing that you can do is write down, I'm not selling blank, I'm selling blank, because you want to understand why it matters, right? You wouldn't be like, oh, I'm a business coach that works with moms who helps them implement strategies or systems. Yeah, cool, but that's very surface level, right? And what is that system? What are those systems and those strategies allow them to do that they want? So I'm going to give you actually an example for me. I don't preach anything that I don't actually practice. And again, I do this with my clients and it has been such a game changer and so helpful. And I think it's something that could really benefit you too. I highly recommend that you do this. So for me, I actually did this exercise a couple days ago. Again, I wrote down, because I do it every so often to see what comes up. And so I just did this a couple days ago because this is fresh. So I said, I'm not selling marketing and messaging strategy. I'm selling dot, dot, dot. So again, that's the exercise. I want you to do that. And I really sat down and thought about my ideal client and what it is their, I hate to say pain points, but what are they struggling with? What are their pain points? And we're not digging into those pain points, but you have to speak to them in the language of those pain points. So for me, I'm not selling messaging strategy. I'm selling clarity in communication. So you don't feel embarrassed or frustrated in trying to explain what you do. I cannot tell you how many times my clients have been like, I get so incredibly frustrated because I do not understand why people don't get what it is that I do or I'll have a lot of people tell me that they'll get frustrated because they sound like everybody else. That's another thing, is that they sound like everybody else, or everybody else just thinks, like everyone thinks that they just do the same thing as everybody else, but they don't, and they don't know how to articulate that. And then they can either feel embarrassed or frustrated. Most of the time, 95% of the time, it's frustrated, but I have had a few clients get embarrassed when they don't know how to actually say what it is they say. I'll give you a great example. One of my clients went to an event, and it was, you have had to have made at least 7 figures in your business at this event. And she went to this event having made 7 figures. And she said that she just felt like a very small fish in the big, huge ocean, because everybody else, while yes, they had made 7 figures, they had made 7 figures, in her words, with reputable jobs or reputable businesses, right? She was like, some made them in like real estate, or she called it real businesses. I'm doing air quotations. She was like, it was like real businesses, versus she had made hers in life coaching. And so to her, she just felt like, yeah, I would tell people, oh yeah, I did, you know, I'm a life coach. And she was like, and I'm in a room with all of these super masculine, very mainstream type of entrepreneurs, and they just looked at me like I was dumb. And she said, and for me, I felt a little bit embarrassed because, yeah, while I have made the same amount of money they've made, the way that they made it was different. Now, of course, we dug into her mindset and talked all about that. However, that was something that she said. And she was like, I wish I could have clearly communicated the importance of life coaching in a way that didn't make me feel embarrassed. And stick with me, because that's exactly what I teach you how to do, and totally taught her how to do that. And she said that the next time she went to that event, that it was a completely different ball game. And she ended up actually signing 5 freaking clients when she went to the next event, because of the way that she explained what it is that she does. And to the people that she was talking to, she would give them real life examples, right? And she would ask them questions. And then at the very end, she was like, yes, this is exactly what I do with my clients. And I teach that. If you want to know how to do that, just FYI, I have a masterclass called the Speakeasy Masterclass where I do talk about that. But that is in the show notes below, so you can totally go check that out. That is something that I do teach one-on-one clients, and that's something that we taught her. But that is one thing I say. So I'm not selling messaging strategy. I'm selling clarity and communication, so you don't feel embarrassed or frustrated in trying to explain what you do. Next one, an easier way to feel understood and valued. Again, that's playing off the first one, but I let my brain go where it wanted to go. And I also say an easier way to feel understood and valued, because that is something that you want. You want to be valued. You want not only for your work to be understood, but you want it to be wanted. You want it to be valued. And that's something that a lot of my clients feel they don't have enough of. They're like, yeah, I have clients. I'm, you know, not struggling to get clients. It's that I just want more perfect fit clients. And I find that a lot of people don't truly value what it is that I do. They just look at it as a quick solution. That's something that a lot of my clients have said, is that they'll have clients who are like, yeah, they're just throwing money at the problem. And so they're throwing money at me to solve their problem, but they're not willing to actually do the work, or they're not perfect fit clients, or their clients that just aren't getting the most amazing results because they weren't a perfect fit to begin with. I hear that quite a lot, and they will always say some iteration of, they just don't actually value what it is that I'm offering. Their clients aren't showing up. Their clients aren't dedicated. They're not doing the work before the calls. They're not actually going all in, because they don't actually see 100% of the value in it to transform themselves. They see the value in putting money down because, again, they're, oh, I want this. I'm just going to pay for it, and then it's magically going to do the work itself. But for them, it's, they believe that their offer needs to be valued. They don't want it to just be understood. They want it to be highly valued, highly taken care of. Because when you think about it, when you truly value something, you take care of it and you show special attention to it. And so anyway, so that's what they wanted. Okay, next one. I'm not selling messaging strategy. I'm selling connection with the exact people you can help. And I put exact people, connection with the exact people, because again, my clients tend to bring in a lot of clients, but they have a hard time finding perfect fit ones. And it's not like their clients are bad. I want to iterate that. It's not that their clients are bad by any means. It's just that their clients aren't getting the most incredible results that they know that their clients can get. So to them, that's not a perfect fit client. Also, a lot of my clients too, especially the ones that are past the six figure and they're at the multiple six figure mark, they have a pretty large audience and their audience is incredible. However, this also tends to go with low ticket items. If they're selling low ticket items or courses, they'll tend to find that a lot of the people who buy their courses don't ever really complete them. And I just want to totally say here that I do not believe that should be the case for courses. I know a lot of people out there are like, oh, only a certain percentage of people will go through your courses. That's not true. If someone, again, valued what you were offering and they were a perfect fit for it, they would be going through it. They would be going through it. They would put priority on that and they'd be going through it if they were the perfect fit person to work with you. So that's something that I really strive for, is helping my people find their soulmate clients, their perfect fit clients. And I do that again through the 5-day method. I promise. I've said it so many times, I will do a podcast on that and give examples and all that. However, you have to know the criteria of that perfect fit client. So for me, I'm not selling messaging strategy. I'm selling a connection with the exact people you can help and who want your help, right? I'm not selling messaging strategy. I'm selling a shorter sales cycle so you can eliminate extra work and time. I cannot stress this enough. My clients want fast. They don't like to waste time. They are go-getters. They get stuff done. They really, truly want results quickly. And for me, it is very important for you to have a shorter sales cycle. I totally want to go on a rant here. Side note. I remember one time, probably a year or two ago, I asked on my Facebook profile, how long does someone have to be in your, I don't want to say your nurture sequence or whatever, but how long do they have to be in your world before they buy from you? And again, I'm not saying that every single person in your world should be a client. Absolutely not. That's ludicrous. That's insanity. I think it's actually unethical. However, how many people or how long does it take someone who is a perfect fit client to be in your orbit, to be in your world? How long does it take them before they become a client? And I can even take this a little bit further. Let's say, for example, someone does become a lead. They reach out, they ask you a few questions, and they say, hey, I'm going to think about it. I've done a whole podcast on that. How long does it take them to actually think about it, quote unquote, think about it, before they become a client? That's another way you can ask that question. And it was insane. I had people say 6 months to a year, and then people justified it being like, well, you know, I have to nurture them for a really long time because a lot of them are cold. And I hate the word leads. I hate even referring to people as leads, but they would call them cold leads. That's industry standard, right? They would say, oh, they came to me not knowing me at all. They just maybe randomly found me. I just think all of that is just insanity to me. Really, truly. Imagine you went to a dinner and one of your friends invited you to a dinner and you're not going to know anyone there except your friend. And I'm thinking of like a girl's dinner. And you get there and you introduce yourself to everybody and you do small chit chat. You intuitively know who you jive with and who you don't. And to me, I know instantly if I jive with you or not. I can read one piece of your content and I know, it's not like, oh my God, I really won't work with you. But I know, I can see if you're an expert at what you do, if you are talking about how you do it differently, which is 100% A++ for me. If I read a piece of content and it makes me change my perspective, or I say something, oh, I've never thought of it that way, or I'm like, dang, that was really good. She made really good points, or he made really good points. I'm on board with you because you're different automatically. Maybe that's my Aquarius energy coming through. I don't know. Capricorn energy. I don't know. But that is on par with me. I want different. I want the best of the best. And if you can articulate that immediately, or if your energy just speaks that immediately, I am ready for you. And or I'm ready to be friends or ready to get to know you better. And I will get to know you better. I will make it a point to get to know you better. I am the person who's like, hey, okay, I'm going to scoot over here and talk to this person. I really like their vibe. Or I'm going to be, hey, let's stay in touch. You want to get coffee sometime? I am that person. And maybe that's just me, but you know already if you jive with someone or if you agree with them or if you just feel like, hey, they're talking about something I'm super interested in, right? You kind of already know that. And so for me, when I did that post and they're like, oh, 6 months to a year, it was just crazy. The amount of, I don't want to say excuses, but the amount of excuses that these people said, like, oh, no, you really have to nurture people. or you have to give them, oh my gosh, one person was like, I have to give them lots of free stuff before they'll ever buy from me. Can we, I don't even have words. Guys, you do not have to give something away for free in order for someone to buy from you. She was talking about how she just would give out free courses and free things because she wanted to nurture them in order to buy from them. Am I saying giving out free stuff is bad? Absolutely not. But you do not have to. And I would even argue that if you are giving out free stuff with the intention of someone to buy from you, that is not giving from a place of service. That is giving from a place of manipulation. Think about that for a hot second. And I think that's taught a lot in marketing is, oh, let's give something for free so that we can manipulate them into buying from us later and thinking that we're this like really awesome person for giving people away for free. I'm not saying this is always the case. However, and again, everything I say is my opinion, but I just want you to think about that. And people don't really think about that. And I think about that because I've had that happen. I remember actually I was in a mastermind and the person who ran the mastermind would give a ton of stuff away for free and give their services away for free very often. And then you almost felt like as the person who was receiving it for free, you almost wanted to reciprocate it back in some way. And so eventually after that person kept giving you stuff for free and their energy and their time for free, they would say like, oh, and I remember they used to say like little jabs of like, oh, don't worry about it. You'll pay me back sometime. And I remember feeling like, oh, you know? And so then in this mastermind that I was in, we had 15, 20 people in this mastermind and 90% of them couldn't even afford that mastermind, but they felt obligated to be there because that person really, truly, quote unquote, helped them in the past for free and they wanted to pay it back. And so this, and even, God, I could go on and on about this mastermind, but one of the other members of the mastermind that I was super close with, they really, truly could not afford it. They were not being able to pay their bills and they mentioned to this person, they went to the person who ran the mastermind, letting them know, hey, I can't afford this anymore. I think I'm going to have to bow out. And they guilt tripped them into staying and being like, I gave you so much, you know, I gave you so much for free, X, Y, Z, all the stuff. I helped you so much. You're really going to disappoint me if you leave and blah, 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 and manipulated them into staying. Yeah, I went on a side note there, but I just want to say that sometimes when you're trying to give stuff away with the intention of they're going to buy later, that is manipulative, okay? All right, side note, sorry. So anyways, I don't even know what I was saying about that. My brain went completely in a different direction. Hello, ADHD. What was I even saying? Oh, giving away for free, the Facebook post. Yeah, so they were talking about how to nurture, all this stuff. And I then switched it around and a couple weeks later asked, how quickly has someone entered your world and bought from you? And the answers were still the same. They were like, oh, like 3 months, I think was the earliest, 3 months, 6 months, a year. And I'm like, oh my God, I cannot tell you how many times I have gone on someone else's podcast and did an interview. And then that person listened to that podcast, immediately messaged me. Oh my gosh, your podcast spoke to me. I totally want to work with you. How can I work with you? And I cannot tell you how many times that's happened to me or even too, I have posted on my Facebook page, someone has shared my post and someone from that audience came to my Facebook, read a couple of my posts, sent me a message, hey, I want to work with you. It has happened to me so many times and it's happened to my client so many times because the content and the marketing and the messaging that I put out is so potent and so clear on what I do and who it is I help and how I help them that they immediately are like, yes, I'm ready to buy. They self-identify and they're like, yes, I'm ready to buy. Right? So making my sales cycle shorter. And my clients also want shorter sales cycles, right? With perfect fit clients. And I'll tell you that those clients that have done that have been perfect fit for me. 1000%. They have been some of my best clients I have ever worked with that I'm still super close with today. And yeah, so that's another thing I'm selling. I am selling a shorter sales cycle so that we can eliminate extra work and time. Okay. I'm not selling messaging strategy. I'm selling more time actually doing what you love to do and what you actually started your business to do in the first place. That's another thing. I have a lot of my clients tell me that, let's say specifically coaches, let's say I just absolutely love coaching. And if I could just coach all day long, instead of just having to write tons of content and having to post 24/7, I would feel so much better. And that's the thing with me as well. And I should have wrote this on there. So I am, I'm going to add this in there. I'm not selling messaging strategy. I'm selling you how to create content that is so potent where you don't have to create tons of content to get clients. I actually saw a post too on Facebook the other day where they said, do you think that there's a such thing as too much content? And I immediately went, hell yes, 100%. Because if you are posting 10, 15 mother flipping times a day, one, okay, let's just break this down for a second. One, most of the people that I see doing that, when you look at what they're offering their client, how to make more money in less time. So you're doing a really great job of that, buddy. Ma'am, you're doing a really great job of that. Showing me that I can make more money in less time when you're spending all of your freaking time posting and being on social media. This is something so important. I could totally rant on forever, but I'm not going to. I'm just going to say it really quickly. You need to choose coaches who have a lifestyle that you want, not just the money you want to make. I've made this mistake so many times where I saw that entrepreneur and I'm like, oh my gosh, they are so successful in their business. Their business is exactly what I want. I want to be able to make that much money doing what they're doing. But then their family life or their just actual outside of work life is pure shit. It is awful. They have horrible relationship with their spouse. Their kids hardly ever see them. They're constantly on their phone. They're always working. It does not feel good to me. And the one coach that I did hire that I was like, okay, I'm hiring them because not only do they have a business that I want to have and they're making the money I want to make, they are a true family guy. It was Anthony Trucks. Actually, I'll just mention him on here. He's freaking amazing. Anthony Trucks. He made it a priority to spend time with his kids. His kids and his family always went first. And he really, truly talks about that all the time. And he also works out and he always talks about how he takes really good care of his body, his health. That's super important to me. Health is a number one priority to me. I want to take care of my body. I also want to really separate work and family and business. And that's super, super important to me. But that is just very important, is to make sure that the lifestyle and the actual money you want to make match with those people. And for me, it's being able to help you do what you, I'm just going to go back to it because I don't know where my brain went. More time actually doing what you love to do and what you actually started your business to do in the first place. So I'm not selling messaging strategy. I'm selling that. If it comes back to me, I'll loop back around, but my brain is just not offering me that. Okay. The next one, I'm not selling messaging strategy. I'm selling the ease of being referred to perfect fit clients. Imagine if you got referred constantly. Imagine being referred to perfect fit client. Imagine if you, every person you spoke to totally got what you did, understood who your ideal client was and told you, oh my gosh, I know three people who totally need your service. I'm going to reach out to them. I've had so many clients have people who refer them, but those people that get referred are not great fits. On 99%, I know 100% of my clients. I'm actually not even going to say that it's less than that. 100% of my clients tell me all the time that, yeah, people that I work with, they'll refer me, but then the people they refer me to aren't a great fit. And then they feel bad. They feel bad for telling those referrals no, because a person that they really like and trust referred them and they don't want to let that person who referred them down. So they'll say yes to this referral, even though they're not a perfect fit. And then that just is a whole storm of a disaster. But imagine if you were able to articulate exactly what it is that you do, how you do it differently, and who exactly it's for, to where people can refer you and every referral you get is a perfect fit. Wouldn't that be incredible? Oh, now I know what I was talking about. Content and the amount of content. I'm sorry, my brain just went, yes, I am going to harp back on that for a second. I help people write content that they, yes, now I remember. Okay, so helping people write content that does the selling for them where they're not having to post 15, 20 million times a day, right? Now I remember. Okay. So I said first, yeah, they're doing a great job of showing you, oh, you can spend less time. And they're not actually doing that. I'm being totally sarcastic there if you didn't catch my drift, right? That's the first thing. And then the second thing I would say is that a lot of their content that they're posting is actually devaluing what they do because they are just posting and posting. And yes, they're getting more reach, but what if that one piece of content reached 500 people, but that piece of content was some inspirational quote that was like, you know, keep going, you're doing so great, like, gag me now, you sound like everybody else. And so, yeah, you just got a lot of people on your stuff, but what's that doing for your business? It's people aren't paying attention to exactly what it needs to pay attention to. For me, I think that's super important. And I'll say another thing too, which is going to sound so controversial, but I don't care. I think it's very important. I am all about vulnerability and transparency and being relatable by all means, but there's a difference between being relatable and being relevant. And I say that because a lot of people will go and air all of their dirty laundry, all of their personal dirty laundry on Facebook or on TikTok or wherever they're marketing at. And they're also trying to run a business. And so now, not only are you airing dirty laundry that, yes, might get you a lot of views, but the people who are viewing it, are they going to be your ideal clients? Is that an effective marketing strategy? Right? It's, yeah, that's another thing. And then I say another one too, is a lot of people will go and they will create content that is bashing other people in their industry. And I say this a lot because I see it all the time, is that they will bash what other people are doing for common things and all this stuff, right? And they're bashing all of it. But then they are doing it in a way of, I'm doing it better than you versus I'm doing it different from you. And I think that's so important. While yes, there are a lot of strategies out there that I just do not agree with, I don't think they work the best. And I don't think that they're super effective or ethical sometimes. However, I am not going to go out there and hate on that, right? I'll give you a great example. I think cold DMing is absolute bullcrap, but I'm not going to go write a post and talk about that. 15, talk about, oh my God, if you're cold DMing, stop, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to go out there and use that as part of my content strategy of being like, you know, I've actually just saw this. I saw a post about a week or two ago where she was a marketing strategist. And she said, if you're doing cold DMing as your marketing strategy, please work with me so that we can do a better way. And in my opinion, and when you say things like that, you're going to attract those people who are currently doing that. And so when they do come to you, they're going to think you have a quick solution. And so they're not going to be great fit clients because they're not going to be all in on your solution. They're just trying anything that works at this point. Does that make sense? And it's not going to be effective. And when you're out there talking about things that you don't want your clients to do, you're going to attract people who just agree with you and who aren't actually doing those things, right? How effective is it? Are you actually going to attract people who are cold DMing? Are you really, like, you're probably not. Most posts like that get literally just like, oh my God, I can't stand this. It drives me nuts. It's just a bunch of people who agree with you, but not actually people who are going to become your client. So you're calling out what people are doing, but what you're calling out, your ideal clients don't already do. Does that make sense? I think that's so super important. I talk about it all the time. And I use this example, and I will use it 15 million times until it gets totally embedded. If you're an email marketing strategist, this is the example I use, and you're out there telling people email marketing is not dead, who are you going to attract? You're probably going to attract people who currently think email marketing is dead, right? Because they're going to be like, oh, email marketing is dead, and she's telling me it's not dead, right? You're either going to attract those people, or you're going to attract the people who agree with you, and that's it, right? It doesn't make sense to my brain, and I just don't understand it. So to me, it's just like, content needs to be effective, and you don't have to create a ton of content. You do not need to create a ton of content to make sales. Some of my clients only post 2 to 3 times a week, but what they post is so potent and so good that when they post it, they get 2 to 3 leads with every single post they post because they're not posting garbage. So anyways, okay. I'm so glad my brain took me back there. So glad, because that was important and it just took me a minute. Anyways, okay. So I'll do two more and then I'm going to wrap this up. So I'm not selling messaging strategy. I'm selling being seen and recognized as the best in your field. And I wrote best here because I do think that when you articulate how you do it differently, people will automatically assume that's the best way. And I'm not saying that it is. I'm not saying that anyone is right or anyone is wrong. It's just that most of my clients I work with really, truly are freaking amazing and they are experts at what they do. And not enough people know it. And so when we do start going out there and we start helping them create content that is different or create messaging that is different and potent and really truly displays their expertise, people automatically think they're the best because they do not sound everybody else. And that's really truly what my people want. That's what you guys want listening here. If you're an ideal client, you want to be seen as someone who is an expert in your industry, and you want to be seen as different. And I don't mean different in the weird, quirky, odd way. Different as in you are in a category of one, right? You are the type of person who are people say what they talk about your industry and they're like, oh my gosh, yes. I'll give you a great example. Everyone on here knows Gary Vee, I'm sure. Why does everyone love Gary Vee? Because he's different. I'll give you another example, Taylor Swift. Taylor Swift has literally diehard fans. I was watching a TikTok, oh my God, and it's that like, there's like that podcast where it's like, am I the asshole for blah, 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 blah. And she gave this story of this girl that wrote in and was, am I the asshole for missing my brother-in-law's funeral to go to the Taylor Swift concert? And I literally laughed out loud because your brother-in-law, your sister's husband just died and the funeral is on the same day as the Eras Taylor Swift concert, and you're asking, am I an asshole for not going to his funeral because I paid a lot of money for these concert tickets? And I died, because that is how hardcore her fans are. That should not even be a consideration. That should not even be a thought in your brain. Of course you need to go to your front screen walls, but that's what her fans are, right? They're diehard fans because she's different. She has done everything different than pretty much every other artist in the industry. She's reinvented herself multiple times. Her whole reputation tour was in regards to people trashing her reputation. She is a trailblazer. She's different. And so people automatically think that she is the best artist, even though she's not. I will say her vocally, she is not. I will argue that Christina Aguilera's vocals, or even Ariana Grande's vocals, I don't really listen to a lot of these people, but man, they're way better singers than Taylor Swift. But most people will tell you Taylor Swift is the best because of the nuances and the differences that she does in the music industry. She does different angles, she does different things, and her fans are super fans. And same with Gary Vee, he does things differently. If you listen to his content, he is doing things differently. He's talking about topics that most people don't talk about. And he's just 100% being himself. And so is Taylor Swift, right? But that's the thing, is when you automatically show how you're different, people automatically see you as the best. That it's just, it happens. It happens all the time with your people, right? I'm sure some people hate Taylor Swift, and I'm sure some people hate Gary Vee, and that's totally fine. But regardless, they are marketing experts, and they are incredible at what it is that they do. And I'm even going to say Taylor Swift is a marketing expert, because she is, but she's using marketing as in everyone markets. Actually, I'm not even saying using marketing as everyone is a marketer. If you have a business, you need to own the identity that you are a marketer. And let me tell you, the ideas will come flying to you if you own the identity, I'm a marketer, because marketing is a part of business. And Taylor Swift is in the business of music. She makes music and sells music. She is in that business. That is in the industry. So therefore, she owns that she is a marketer. Right? So yeah, I said two, but I only had one left. So that's it. I hope this was helpful. And this is an exercise that you can do very easily. And just that, I'm not selling messaging strategy. I'm selling thought. And again, I just gave you all these examples, but it is super eye-opening. And you really do get to go into the core of your client. And I would even suggest that after you do this, you make this list first. I'm not selling blank, I'm selling blank. Make that list first and then go in and say, what does that actually look like? Like, how can I paint a picture? And again, that post that I did, or the example I gave earlier of them, the family eating upstairs, that is a tangible thing. A lot of my, if I were that business coach that helped moms, a lot of my clients or a lot of my audience would resonate with that. They could see themselves in that. Oh my God, yes, this totally happened to me. And this is why too, if we are just consuming for entertainment, this is why stories are so entertaining, because we see ourselves in those stories. We see ourselves in those examples. We can relate to that. And it's relevant. That's another thing. Again, I'm going to do a whole podcast on relatable and relevant, because I think being relatable is great, but it might not be relevant to who your ideal client is at that time, whatever. For example, a mom who has 30-year-old kids can totally relate to a mom who has a 2-year-old and is telling a funny story, but it's no longer relevant to her because her kids are 30 years old. Anyways, okay, I hope this was helpful. And I will see you on the next episode. Hope you have the most incredible rest of your day. Bye.
Thanks for listening to the No Farting Around Show. It's been an absolute blast making a big stink with you. If you find yourself gasping for more, then come join me over on my socials. Links are below. If you enjoyed this episode, don't fart and dart. Please leave a review. It would be greatly appreciated. Cheers to breaking wind, I mean barriers, and I'll see you in the next episode.